Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is Wednesday, the 6th of March, 2024, the 26th of Adar Aleph 5784, coming to you this morning from Gush Etzion, Israel, just south of Jerusalem, in the hills of Judea. That is where I'm podcasting from this morning. South of our eternal capital, just a few kilometers to the north, is Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the State of Israel and the Jewish people. I am here outdoors. You could probably hear some of the cars and trucks going by here in beautiful Kfar Etzion. Just a perfect, crisp, cool day. The sun is out. Hoping to head out for a bike ride a little bit later on such a lovely day. You probably wouldn't even realize that a war is taking place on many fronts, in the south of Israel, in the north, throughout Judea and Samaria, really the whole country affected by the war, which is still taking place. Hamas, of course, still holding our hostages, and they should let them go right now, immediately. Hamas should let them go, and Israel should issue an ultimatum to them, to Hamas, to let them go immediately or else, and that or else should be something they've never seen before, even above and beyond what Israel's accomplished towards victory in the current war against Hamas. And we'll get to all that very, very soon. Don't forget, you can get in touch with me during the week, Josh, at thelandofisrael.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. A top story here from JNS News. U.S. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller accused Israeli ministers of being a, quote, being an obstacle to Gaza aid on Tuesday, as Washington continues to press Israel to do more to help the Arab, or Palestinian as they call them, a word I don't use, Palestinian civilians. Miller was asked at the State Department's daily press briefing what White House advisor John Kirby meant on Monday when he said that some inorganic obstacles to aid delivery have been put in place by the Israeli cabinet. "You have seen ministers in the Israeli government," he said, "block the release of flour from the port of Ashdod." This according to Miller. "You have seen ministers of the government supporting protests that blocked aid going from the Kerem Shalom into Gaza. All these things are obstacles coming from these ministers." So Jonathan Panikoff, the director of the Athletic Council's Scowcroft Middle East Security Initiative, told JNS the Biden administration was clearly changing its tone, reflecting White House frustration about the aid situation in Gaza. That's been particularly the case in the wake of last week's riot, during which dozens of Arabs were killed while aid was being delivered. Let's remember, the world went crazy accusing Israel of carrying out a massacre, when in reality, the Arabs in Gaza were rushing the trucks, and the trucks ran over some of them. It was a stampede, but Israel did not go out and carry out a massacre. So don't believe everything you read in the media, all the lies they tell you that IDF soldiers carried out a massacre there. But I want to get to this story. So firstly, in terms of the protests against aid, it's not government ministers, it's the people of Israel who understand that you do not send aid to your enemies in a time of war. Can you imagine sending aid? The Allies would send aid to the Nazi children or Nazi civilians in Germany. Of course, they wouldn't do that. And in this case, of course, Hamas is stealing the aid. And again, who in the world gives lifelines to their enemies? Their enemies, which must be destroyed. So no sane country in the world will do so. And that is why the citizens of Israel, including families of hostages, are saying no aid to Gaza. You have to understand the best way to put Hamas out of business is to be stronger on Hamas, not weaker. Stop giving them lifelines. Stop the aid to Gaza. It's insane to keep our enemies afloat. And at the same time, how many civilians are really in Gaza? We know that scores took place in the October 7th massacre, and the majority of Gazans support Hamas. And by the way, the majority of those living in Judea and Samaria, the Arabs here, support Hamas. So stop talking to me about innocent civilians. Somehow Egypt doesn't have to give aid or open their border, but the Biden administration doesn't say a single word about Egypt. Instead, they are throwing Israel under the bus time and time again, whether it's the aid issue, calling for a PA state, sanctions on residents of Judea and Samaria. These are all rewards to Hamas and the PA. Again, PA, which is the PA, which is also a terrorist entity. So let's ignore the pressure. Israel, ignore the pressure. Our government should ignore the pressure and do what we have to do to win this war already. It's the people who are blocking the trucks, and it's the government that should not and is not obligated to give aid to its enemy in the time of war. We have to stop it. And I don't know if it's going to stop, but it should stop. That is you want to talk about the moral thing to do? The moral thing to do is to starve out Hamas, make them return the hostages, because we are approaching this from a position of strength, or have the people there revolt against the evil, which is Hamas. They're not Zionists. Let's not be mistaken. Let's have the people there turn against Hamas. Enough of this aid to Gaza. UNRWA back in the news. UNRWA, the scandal-plagued, Arab-only refugee aid agency, so-called Palestinian. Again, I don't use that word, folks. I don't use the word Palestinian. This also reported by JNS News, told the UN General Assembly, the head of UNRWA, rather, told the General Assembly his agency's at the breaking point after the U.S. and others suspended funding, pending an investigation of UNRWA staff ties to Hamas. The Israeli envoy, we're talking about Ambassador Gilad Erdan, said, "Good riddance." That was his message to UNRWA. He said, "After all that has been exposed about UNRWA, it is very clear," said Gilad Erdan, our ambassador to the UN, "UNRWA will never again operate in Gaza as it had prior to October the 7th. Its role in Gaza is finished, must be replaced immediately. It must be defunded and dismantled." Again, this according to the Israeli ambassador Gilad Erdan to the United Nations. Israel this week came out with more further allegations that there are more extensive ties between UNRWA's Gaza staff members and terror groups in Gaza. The Jewish state released video footage of an UNRWA worker helping kidnap the body of an Israeli on October 7th, and there's audio of two phone calls the UNRWA teachers, folks, made that detail and celebrate their participation in the murderous massacre and the hostage-taking spree. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, hashtag UNRWA is Hamas. Let's use that hashtag, UNRWA is Hamas. Not sure how many times I have to say it. UNRWA must be defunded and shut down. UNRWA is the humanitarian aid organization of Hamas. The countries who suspended funding must do so permanently. And the entire organization must go, must be shut down. That includes the UNRWA folks working out of Jerusalem. Do you realize there are UNRWA folks not only in Gaza, but in Jerusalem? Let's remember this. They're in Jerusalem, they're in Judea and Samaria. They're preaching anti-Israel hate. They're holding the Arabs there as hostages against Israel, essentially. Their own people, keeping them on the front lines. They have yet to resettle one single so-called refugee. All of them should be sent home. I just don't understand why they're even able to operate out of Jerusalem. It makes no sense to me. Send UNRWA packing everywhere in this region. Turning now to the Temple Mount. It is almost Ramadan. Another 4 days until Ramadan. And who knows what's going to happen on Ramadan. Every year we see more and more terrorist attacks taking place in this month of peace, so-called month of peace and reflection, right? So Times of Israel reported today that Israel will not reduce the number of Arab worshippers, Muslim worshippers, I should say, allowed to pray on the Temple Mount in the first week of Ramadan from the levels in previous years. Prime Minister Netanyahu's office announced yesterday amid serious concerns over efforts by Hamas and its backer Iran to stir up violence at the Flashpoint holy site and in Jerusalem in general during Ramadan. The Prime Minister's office said that a situational assessment around security and safety will be made every week and that a decision will be made accordingly. So here's the problem. We are talking about Muslims from Judea and Samaria giving them access to Jerusalem. These people come from the same towns which the IDF enters nightly to thwart terrorist attacks. So are you going to tell me that they are planning to pray peacefully? How long How long before we see Hamas flags on the Temple Mount? What is the over-under on this? I give it one day before we see Hamas flags on the Temple Mount, before we see disturbances. How long before one of these people uses his Temple Mount immunity and tries to carry out a terrorist attack? Please God, it won't happen. But this is what we see every single year. And especially now, especially after October 7th, this is a huge risk being undertaken by the government. And the argument is, if you make changes, there will be violence. If you reduce the amount of Muslims allowed to worship there, there will be violence. But personally, I would rather make changes and clamp down while these potential insiders are in their villages, as opposed to roaming free on the streets of Jerusalem and traveling on buses to get to Jerusalem. And that's my take. I think it is a big mistake, and I think Hamas will view this decision as a victory. And let's remember something very, very important, which Hamas said outright. They said this, they admitted this, October 7th wasn't about Gaza or the Gaza border communities. October 7th was about Jerusalem and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And we can only pray that I'm wrong about all of this and that everything is quiet. But that has not been the case in the past. And we are at war. And we need to do what is necessary to prevent more violence. And giving them a hall pass, especially the Arabs in Judea and Samaria, in my opinion, is a big mistake. Again, I hope I'm wrong. It remains to be seen. We will see. Not this Friday, but next Friday. Every Friday, usually, it's even more. There are even more tensions. Next Friday is the first out of four Fridays in Ramadan. We'll see what happens then. We'll see what happens on all the other days. The Jerusalem Post reported, turning back to UNRWA here, that Raheem Al-Salem, the UN's special rapporteur on violence against women and girls, that's her position, confirmed during an interview on Tuesday she was unaware of the frequent rocket attacks by Hamas and Hezbollah against the Jewish state. I kid you not, this is not The Onion. This is real news. Speaking with Ynet, this Raheem Al-Salem commented on reports that Israel is committing war crimes, crimes against humanity, and an unfolding genocide. That she was very confident about, that that's what Israel's doing. But when the interviewer noticed that this Al-Salem did not mention the way the war started, did not talk about the Hamas invasion and massacre on October 7th and how it impacted Israelis, he said, but in Israeli cities, in Israeli schools, we're being bombarded each and every day. Again, this is the Israeli reporter saying this. In response, this Al-Salem confirmed in a questioning, every single day? In which the journalist, his name is Shem Ur, asked, don't you see the reports? Don't you see missiles being launched by Hezbollah and Hamas on a daily basis against Israel? And what did Al-Salem confirm? She said, at this point, I have not seen that. Somehow this woman, this UN woman, special rapporteur on women's violence, is unaware that Israel is under attack on a daily basis. So this is what you have here, this person. She is an October 7th massacre denier. She will not admit Israel's under attack on a daily basis. And said she also said there wasn't enough evidence. Remember, she's supposed to be in charge of women's issues. There wasn't enough evidence to show that Hamas raped Israeli women. And she is supposed to be a UN representative on this matter. Another freaking joke from the world community. And how is this not a parody story? Sadly, this is real. And on top of a massacre and rape and torture, we have to deal with international bodies that side with Hamas and against Israel. It is a sick joke. And each and every week that we have my podcast here on the Land of Israel Network, really each and every day of the news cycle, we see the UN, UNRWA, these other organizations coming out against the side that had these horrible atrocities committed against it, and that is Israel. Not in the minds of the UN or most of the international community. We are not the ones. We are the aggressors here, the colonizers, the occupiers. That's what they call us. Just go on Twitter, and you'll see it each and every day. Pretty sick, folks. Another sixth story is that concerning our neighbors in Jordan, right? We have a peace treaty with Jordan, our wonderful Jordanian neighbors, and they want something from Israel, even though they've been bashing the Jewish state ever since we responded to October 7th. According to the Jerusalem Post, Jordan asked Israel to renew a deal whereby Israel sells the water-deficient Hashemite kingdom an additional 50 million cubic meters of water over and beyond the 50 million that we are obligated to provide under the 1994 peace treaty. Jordan wants more water from Israel. After they slammed Israel time and time again over the situation in Gaza, they want more water from us. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if we give them more water. I hope I'm wrong. We should tell Jordan where to stick it. I know we have a peace deal. I know we have all of these commitments, etc. But you can't show them weakness and give in to their requests. Tell them to stop bashing Israel, and we'll talk. But not until then. And they can't get away with this. They can't be rewarded for this type of behavior. And giving them more water is a reward. Our government needs to be strong. This is the Middle East, folks. This isn't the U.S.-Canadian border. Israel has to come from a point of strength and say, enough of this Israel bashing. You're not getting water now. We're not helping you. This is how you treat us, and we're going to help you? Absolutely not, in my opinion. But I am not a member of the government right now, so I don't know what our government's going to do. We got to be strong, folks. That's really the bottom line on all these issues. We have to be strong. Enough weakness. Israel must show strength. Unfortunately, as reported by Times of Israel, an Israeli soldier was stabbed and seriously wounded in a terrorist attack carried out by an Arab in the northern Shomron on Tuesday, according to the IDF and medics. The assailant approached an army post at the Yitzhar Junction, close to the community of Yitzhar, stabbed one of the soldiers. Other troops of the Kafir Brigade, Kafir's Nachshon Battalion, shot the attacker. The terrorist is dead, and hopefully he is burning in hell. More terror on the home front, more terrorism here. At the same time, over the past week, two Israelis were murdered near the community of Eli. This happened at the same gas station where another four Israelis were murdered last June. And now we have this stabbing near Yitzhar. In the Yitzhar attack, I believe this terrorist was affiliated with the PIJ, the so-called Palestinian Islamic Jihad. So whether it's PIJ or Hamas or Fatah, they are all committed to murdering Israelis. And it's not just happening in Gaza. It's everywhere. Everyone should stay vigilant. And please God, the brave men and women of the IDF will root out these terrorists wherever they are. As reported by the Jewish press, here is a case where we were successful. And the IDF, by the way, is very successful in rooting out these terrorists. It should be known. According to this report by the Jewish press, the Shin Bet, that's Israel Security Service, has thwarted a terrorist squad from the Hebron area that produced some 100 IEDs, improvised explosive devices, and planned to carry out attacks inspired by ISIS. So we have ISIS in Hebron, just down the road from where I am right now. Okay, 100 improvised IEDs were discovered. This was clear for publication on Monday. That last month, in a joint operation of the Shin Bet, the IDF, and Israel police, a four-man terrorist cell from Hebron, from the Hebron area, was prevented from carrying out plans to attack Israeli military forces with dozens of homemade bombs. The terrorist cell produced, again, 100 IEDs. They had training videos on the internet. They received training from ISIS operatives abroad. So this is good news. We caught these monsters before they acted, and now let's find the rest of the monsters located throughout Judea, Samaria, and, of course, Gaza. And speaking of Gaza, at the same time, Israel National News reported just this morning, IDF fighter jets struck two terrorists who participated in the October 7th massacre in the community of Nir Yitzhak. In addition, The IDF took out two platoon commanders and a cell commander in the Hamas Nukba forces. Also, those who carried out the massacre on October 7th in Beit Hanun, that's in northern Gaza, two terrorists who fled to a military compound were eliminated by an IDF fighter jet directed by soldiers in the central community of Khan Yunis, central to south, I would say. 20 terrorists were killed over the past day, 15 of them eliminated in one strike as part of a sniper ambush initiated by IDF troops. In another coordinated strike between IDF units, terrorist infrastructure used to fire at IDF troops was struck. Secondary explosions at the site were identified, indicating that a large number of weapons were stored at that compound. In another area of Khan Yunis, a number of terrorists were identified and eliminated, including in a helicopter strike. This is the way it should be done. Helicopter strikes, Air Force strikes on these terrorists. A bunch of rifles and ammunition were seized, large quantities that were seized in searches. This is in the Hamad area of Khan Yunis. So the IDF busy obtaining a victory in Gaza. Please God, it'll be soon. And please God, the hostages will be released. That's what we need to be saying. Release the hostages immediately or else, and then back that or else with the necessary action in order to force Hamas to release whatever hostages that are still being held, Israeli hostages being held in Gaza. That's going to do it for today. From beautiful Gush Etzion, my name is Josh Haston. This has been another edition of Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Shout out to Tabitha Epstein for everything she does behind the scenes. Ben Bresky, engineer extraordinaire. Get in touch with me during the week by email, josh@thelandofisrael.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. That is how you can reach me. Let's hope for some good news. Continue to pray for our brave men and women, the brave men and women of the IDF, and pray for the injured, pray for the wounded, pray for the hostages to be released immediately. Everyone out there in the wonderful world of ours, wishing you only good things from Gush Etzion in the beautiful hills of Judea. I wish I could show it to you, how wonderful and beautiful it is here today. Only good news coming to you just south of Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the State of Israel and the Jewish people. Have a great week, everyone. Shalom, shalom.